What's your goal in life? Why are you here? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to accomplish? Another question similar to that is, why is there a church here? And if there is a church, what is the goal of Christianity? Sometimes it's easier spelled out for other occupations. If you will, an athlete knows that their goal is to win. A businessman knows that his goal is to probably market and then sell a product. And if he doesn't, he's not going to be in business for long. But what is your goal in life? And what we're going to do this morning is look into the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and look at the first 16 verses. This is in a series entitled Enjoying Your Life. Today's message is called What's Your Life Goal? And we're going to be in Philippians 3 verses 1 to 16. In your blue Bibles, that is on page 832. So what I want to do is begin reading with the idea of looking at what is our goal in life. Let's begin in verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Now, what he's doing is introducing a new subject here, and he does it in kind of an interesting way with talking about rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord, not in things, not in stuff, not in items that we think can help us rejoice in our life, but rejoice and be joyful in the Lord. It's kind of a strange comment stuck in the middle of this whole section, but it helps to transition to this new subject of what's your life goal. Let's continue. Verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. I want you to know that that is one of my life verses. If you look at that, there's just such deep meaning there. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Actually, it's not one of my life verses, but it's one that speaks to an issue that was very prevalent in Paul's day and also today. Beware of dogs. And what he's talking about here are the Gentiles. He's talking about religious teachers that come in and do something. Be careful. Beware of them. And he goes so far as to call them dogs who mutilate the flesh and do things or teach things that lead people more into religion than into a relationship with Jesus Christ. They do these things to be acceptable to God. Let's look at verse 3. It says this, "For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." No confidence in the flesh. We are not to do things that would make us more acceptable to God by some person's or some religious teacher's definition. And in this case, we're talking about circumcision. And he is referring to that subject. In Genesis 17, we see that this was started by God with Abraham as a covenant. What these religious teachers do is they come in and they say you have to follow this ritual to be acceptable to God. You have to be religious to try and impress God. And so beware of religious leaders who say you have to do, quote, religious practices to be acceptable to God. Paul literally calls them dogs. They are dogs. All right, so the first thing we see is what's the goal for your life? But a couple of maybe warnings as we get to that section. Be careful then, on your outline, be careful of false teachers. False teachers that can come in many different ways, teach things that can even look religious and can even look spiritual, but are not. And especially as we have the opportunity to continue to walk with the Lord, we need to check out, we need to evaluate what any teacher teaches us, but especially be aware that there are those that are going to come in and say, you've got to do these religious practices to be acceptable to God. In fact, most of the world believes this. Most of the world believes that you have to do things to get to God. Now, let me make this clear. To get to God is by faith alone in Christ alone. To be forgiven of our sin and to be given the free gift of eternal life. Now, there are things after that, part of discipleship, that we need to be doing, but it has nothing to do with saving us, first of all. And so just be careful of false teachers. And you can turn your TV on and see some of this today. In fact, over some of my time on a mission trip recently, I had the opportunity to turn the TV on and watch some TV. And just to see some of the things that were being said, I couldn't believe it. Of things that people need to do to be acceptable to God. And a lot of this focuses on not only, if you will, religious acts, but a lot of it has to do with the way people are taught to give and just some of the horrendous ideas that come through from false teachers. Be careful of false teachers. Now, what Paul does beginning in verse 4 through verse 9 is he then says, wait a minute, let me talk to you about this doing religious acts, doing spiritual things that supposedly get you close to God. I am the best example. Look at verse 4. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, he said in verse 3, I put no confidence in the flesh, although in verse 4 I have reason. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And what he's now going to do, beginning in verse 5, is go through a laundry list of all the things that he has done to be spiritual. But his point as he gets to the end is that they're empty. They don't get you closer to God. They're just things you do. So, in verse 4, I can boast in being religious, he says. I'm at the front of the line. Look at verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. So in verse 4, I can boast in being religious. I'm at the front of the line, as I just said. I have been circumcised from the tribe of Benjamin. And in his opinion and in others, it was the best tribe. So, yes, I was circumcised in the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. It's a strict sect of Judaism. It's a religious leaders, and they would follow all these laws and all these things so that they could be closer to God. And he says, I'm a Pharisee, and we did that. He said, as he continues in verse 6, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. Oh my goodness. Verse 6, as for zeal, I persecuted the church. And I wanted to see the church destroyed, and I didn't want to see the church continue. So I was doing the religious thing, so to speak. And as for legalistic righteousness, for being legalistic and following all these laws, and all of these commandments. And you can go through some of those, especially Jesus warned about this in talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what they were doing and trying to get close to God. So all this stuff, all these rituals were meaningless. Now what he does in verse 7 is now he's going to contrast it. Now whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever I did, all this stuff that I did is actually loss to me. Verse 8 says that, there it is, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. All of this stuff, all I did to be acceptable to Christ in my own righteousness, I count now as rubbish, as worthless, because it was only that I may gain Christ through faith and know Him. Look at verse 9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, which he was trying to follow, but that which is through faith in Christ, and righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And so he says, it's not all these things I was doing, and it's not all the things you do, it is by faith in Christ. It's not faith in anything else but Him. And it doesn't come through observing the law and keeping the law that's going to make us righteous and somehow make us acceptable to God. It's amazing. You know, God could have set up some kind of standard where you and I would had to have abided by all these Old Testament laws to be saved or to be good to Him. And like I said earlier, most of the world believes that they believe there's things you can do that are not necessarily bad things at all, but you do, and your list, if it's bigger on one side of the scale than the other side of the bad things you've done, and as you weigh those out, if the acts of good and kindness are better, then somehow that merits you heaven. But God didn't establish a relationship with Him and the gift of eternal life through Him in that way. It was only through Christ, and by sending Him as a perfect sacrifice for sin, that we can be forgiven. It's only by Him. So the second thing I would say in verses 4 through 9, we're being careful in two different ways. Number one is be careful of false teachers. The second thing is to be careful of your own achievements. Your own achievements that you do just in your own flesh. And this is exactly what we've been through with Paul. We went through this list of all of the things he did, and he did it all. But he says they're rubbish. They're nothing. The key is knowing Christ through faith, and that's what he focused on. All right, now, he's now going to get us into what is the goal. And this is where I started, but we had to have a couple of warnings here before we got to this goal. Let's continue then now in verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. All right, so the specific goal of Christianity here, he's going to start spelling it out in verse 10, and it begins that I may know Christ, that I may know him more than just a casual relationship, that I'm going to know him intimately and personally. And in order to get to that point, it's going to take time, and it's going to take walking with God through all kinds of circumstances, some of them great, joyful experiences, some of them very difficult, very hard experiences. Now, I've known Christ for about 27 I've known Christ now, you know, I was going to say 27 years, but that's not right. 43 years, and I still have such a long way to go. And Paul had known him longer than this. But it's interesting how he relates this now to the passion of his soul. To have an intimate, personal relationship with Christ is what he's talking about. The fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, in verse 10, as we continue to just look at what he means by this. To know the power of his resurrection. To know his life is now in me through his word, and to know that his spirit, and it doesn't specifically mention his spirit here, but to know that his spirit gives me power to obey him and to walk with him. I want to walk with him in his suffering. I want to go through the process of maturing, and some of that can only be gained through suffering. And ultimately in death, becoming like him. And kind of the idea there is that it's the end of ourselves, but at that point when we give up and completely turn over to God, that He takes over and He gives us a new life and He gives us a new opportunity to know Him. Verse 11, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead, spiritual resurrection, that we will be alive in Christ, that we will be resurrected from the dead. Okay. Now, verse 10 then, this is the key part of what is going on here, is that our goal then, on your outline, our goal is to know Christ. And that is verse 10, to know Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not there. Am I the only one in this room that is not there yet? All right, I know. I know you're being honest, especially the person back at the soundboard. They're not there, I'm not there. And so, if the goal is to know Christ, and we find that knowing Him involves walking with Him, trusting Him, going through him in trials and going through him in great times, all of this, the goal of our life is to know him and to walk with him. All right, so verse 12 is going to help us, and verse 13 is going to help us give some specific ways to get to know him better. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. And verse 12 helps us. So on your outline it says, so I press on. In other words, it doesn't matter what comes our way, what happens in our life. The idea is that I'm going to press on with the goal to know Christ. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to hang up my shoes, so to speak, when it gets difficult, when it gets hard. The idea is I press on. I focus to continue to walk with God. I focus to continue to know him in whatever comes into my life. Verse 12. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, and this is so important, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So in verse 13, I do this. So I forget the past. If we have been forgiven, and we have, we then press on. We forget the past. If it's been forgiven, God has forgiven us, then we go on, we move forward. And the thing is, we can get so caught up in our past and let it control us and dictate our lives. But it's not to do that. When we deal with our sin, when we deal with our shortcomings, we are forgiven. We then move on. I forget the past. And straining, look at that in verse 13, straining towards what is ahead. I reach ahead. I give everything I can to move forward and to trust him. All right, verse 13, I've kind of touched on this already, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And then in verse 13 is the second part of this, and it's so I reach ahead. All right, so let me come back to that in just a moment. The goal is to know Christ, verse 10. Verse 12 and verse 13 give us three ways to do that. We press on in verse 12. And verse 13, the first part, we forget the past. And then in verse 13, the second part is I reach ahead. And the idea here is that we're always moving forward. We're always stretching to know him, to reach ahead, to move forward, to press towards this goal. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. I press on, and it's kind of fleshed out here a little bit more. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on to this goal to keep moving ahead, to keep moving forward. All of us, verse 15, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. And it's just, he finishes with this little admonition here that as maturing believers, we should take a view of this. The goal is to know Christ, to press on, to forget the past, to reach ahead and keep moving in that direction. As a maturing believer, we are to adopt that view of our lives and our things in terms of getting to know him. Let us live up to what we've already attained. Oh my goodness, the idea here is that what we've already learned, just to continue to not just accumulate knowledge, but what we have attained to put into practice and to live and to move forward. All right, so now on your outline, I have a big box at the bottom. And what I want to do is just kind of come back through this just briefly and talk about our goal again, and how we accomplish this. Okay, so let me restate this, and I'm going to end with a story, and we'll be done. Our goal, then, is this. Not to make people religious. That is not the goal of Christianity. That is the goal of many religions, to make people religious. And they try and do this by a number of ways. And in trying to make people religious, that has nothing to do with the goal. We want to lead them. All right, so not to make people religious, but to lead them to a personal relationship with Christ. Lead them to a personal relationship. A relationship where they can share as if you would share with your maybe your spouse across the table in the morning. Or if you go out to dinner with a friend, that you would share. Or you call somebody on the phone. Or you text. You share your life in that way. It's to have a personal relationship with Christ, not something that's vague, not something that we just go through a checklist of doing religious things that somehow makes us more acceptable to God. It doesn't. It doesn't. For salvation, it doesn't. So then our goal is to not make people religious, but to lead them to a personal relationship with Christ. All right, next thought here on this box is we accomplish this by... And this is what was the key thoughts. What were the key thoughts in verses 12 and 13? Forgetting the things that are behind. Forgetting the things that are behind. And that's why it's so important to adopt a lifestyle of knowing when we've made a mistake, knowing when we've sinned, and going to God and asking for confession. I'm sorry, asking for forgiveness. And maybe even needing to do that with someone else that we have caused the problem with, that we confess and we are forgiven. Forgetting the things that are behind. Sometimes the worst people about this can be Christians, that God has forgiven us, but other Christians sometimes don't. And you know what? If you find yourself in that position, and you will in life, and you have a tendency to bring up qualities and characteristics of somebody, you know what, you need to just let that go. Because if they've dealt with that with God, and they have tried to deal with it with people, then let it go. Let God handle that. Don't worry about that. Forgetting the things that are behind us, and getting to know Christ Jesus. Getting to know Him. And that is the goal, and that is how we accomplish the goal, getting to know Him. Now, how are you going to get to know Him in your life? Well, there's a number of ways. First of all, you need to spend some time with Him each day. You need to spend some time just, it doesn't have to be a lot of time, it can be short, maybe occasionally it would be longer, but spending time with Him in His Word, spending time with Him in prayer. You have got to do that if you're going to get to know Him, because it's amazing. Even as I was reading today, some of the thoughts coming out of this passage were very relevant to things that I'm experiencing my life today. And it's just amazing how God's Spirit can take any part of His Word, because He knows exactly what you're going on, and as you read it, He works it into your life. It's an amazing thing. So spending time with Him is part of that. Another part of that would involve being consistent and faithful to church and spending time with Him in that way. We need to have a relationship with Him. We need to worship with other believers, big church, small church, doesn't matter, just spending time in church. And then another step might be to be either in a Sunday school class or in a small group, at where you have the opportunity then to open up a little more and to share and to let things be known. These are some of the ways, some of the goals of getting to know Christ better. Now, one of the things that I do as a pastor is that I spend time with a group of pastors, and we do this on a monthly basis. And it's actually a very good thing. There's nothing worse than getting together with a group of pastors, because pastors can be... We have problems too. I know you already know that, but pastors can be arrogant and proud. And it just takes a while. With the group that I've been with, it has taken a while for us to kind of let the walls down and to be able to talk and to share and what's going on and how we can pray for each other and how we can encourage each other. But it took time, but we have gotten to that point. And now I look forward to the time where once a month, in this particular setting, where I can spend time with these guys and get to know them, and they encourage me and I encourage them, and we get to know each other better, but also as we strive and we move ahead, that we get to know Christ better. And I think that's the goal, and it's a goal that we'll never really attain here, because we're always going to be needing to grow in our walk with Him. We're always going to need to be striving to learn what He has for us. And it's a never-ending process, but it's a goal that will never, in a very honest way, it will never be attained here on earth. But it will when we see Him face to face, because then we will know Him. But on earth, as we live, and as we go through all kinds of experiences, one of the things you need to do is keep in the back of your mind that I want to be like Christ, and to experience everything, and He experienced a lot of things as we read the Gospels. And so that should be the goal of our life. And now there's nothing wrong with having other goals in other areas, but this passage, I think, gives us one of the key verses in all of Scripture as to what the goal is, to know Christ. And in knowing Him, living our lives in a way that would please Him and hopefully be a positive testimony to those that we come in contact with. So, this is an amazing little section in this book of Philippians that contains so much that helps us to grow in our walk with Him. Let's take a moment, go ahead and bow your heads with me, and just think about where you're at in your life with God now. What is the goal of your life? Maybe you need to change it. Maybe you need to reevaluate it. Because goals can get blurred pretty easily, and we're in some difficult times right now in our country, and maybe your goal is not to know Christ. Maybe your goal is something else. Now, I recognize that there can be multiple goals, but the primary key goal of your life and mine is to know Christ and to walk with Him and to trust Him. And so this is something that we need to be ever mindful of. And let's just take a moment and just have a moment of silence to do some business with God about where you're at in terms of what is the goal of your life. And maybe you need to change it this morning or reprioritize the goals of your life. So let's just take a moment and do that. All right. I know that wasn't a long moment, but let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage and these verses and just the warnings that are contained, but also the amazing challenge that is contained in these words, that I may know Christ and understand Him. And this is our goal, and it's accomplished through a number of ways. And I pray that we would forget the past, that we would keep reaching out, that we would trust God, that we would continue to look to Him to honor and to guide and direct us. Thank you, Lord, for this section and this part of your word, and we just commit it to you as we grow day by day in your word and in understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.